Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to advance this thesis for you tonight. The First Amendment protects a series of rights that are rooted, at least in part, in a conception of human action and human purpose. Later amendments, the Fourth Amendment, for instance, protects our right to life, liberty, and property because that is intrinsic to who we are as human beings. But the First Amendment protects things that we must do in order to be happy, in the way that Jefferson and, frankly, the people of that time would have understood the term.
All right, this is our third pass at this. We're finally getting near. I mean, that's actually one of the first things that Jay Koss said, but that's just kind of recap for you. John told me earlier, he's like, when you come back to this, you got to recap for the people who weren't listening at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. I'm like, okay, fine. I will do it.
I'm there for
as a
them.
Teacher.
That's I'm right. there for them.
And also, you said it, but, you know, by the second time you hear it, you hear different things, and you hear it sinks in a little bit more. You know, it's the old, like, you know, the key to education is repetition, repetition, and repetition, you know, and I've always hated that because I'm like, I said it right one time. Why do I have to say it twice? You know, I don't know. What's the challenge here? So Jay Koss, who came through the Seligman Lecture Series at UWF, which is a great series, and he spoke about the importance of the First Amendment and what it means. And a lot of people think the First Amendment, which is worship, speech, press, petition, assembly, okay, those are the rights. They think that the First Amendment is there to protect you in your individual freedom to express yourself. And it's not that that's false, it's that that's really shallow. The idea, much more broadly, bigger, the richer metaphysic or the better teleology, the purpose and context and structure of the universe and what we're built to do, is we're supposed to, you know, God has certain ideas for us that was saturated the mindset of the founding era. And the First Amendment is there to protect the actions that God wants us to engage in and perform in order to fulfill our humanity, to do what he wants done in the world and to make us happy. And we will not be happy until we are doing things like worshiping and interacting with other people and improving the world around us and creating a more successful polity or society. That's what makes for human happiness. And things that are, you know, well, I'm just going to have my say on TikTok. Well, that, you know, we're going to protect that, but that's not the point. And, you know, your little dance, it's not what God had intended for your life, nor is you trolling other people and being a jerk on social media. That's going to be protected, but that's not the purpose. In fact, that is at odds with the purpose, which is to build humanity, to advance humanity, to deepen our relationship with each other and with God. And the First Amendment is there to protect those doings, those things, from either government interference or government coercion. Either way. So that's kind of the background of all of this. John, you've been listening to me talk about this for the first two segments today. And now also, anything else you want to add before we get into the Q&A? Because I thought the Q&A was particularly important. But
no, sir, you're
makes
good.
Sense. Okay. Oh, and also, some of the later amendments, the 4th, the 5th, and the 8th, are more of the how to protect what you own from government taking it. Like the 4th Amendment protects you before the trial. You know, the 5th Amendment protects you during the trial. The 8th Amendment protects you after the trial and how they punish you. But the idea is that, you know, life, liberty, and property, when government interferes with these things, it has to do so in certain ways with certain restrictions. So that's in your ownership of those things, depriving you of those. Those are kind of Lockean concepts, John Locke. But the First Amendment is the doing. Those are the things that you're to be able to do. And that what Jay Koss was saying is that these ideas saturated the founding era. That this is what everybody took for granted. Even the deists, even the, you know, the irreligious, like the rationalists, like Jefferson, you know, they all took this for granted, this rich context of what the purpose of human life was all about, even if they weren't particularly into God or Christianity. All right, so in the question and answer section at the end of the lecture series, which I always appreciate that they do, Jay Koss went on to talk about, again, this idea of the popular sentiment of the day.
Madison, when he was working on the Bill of Rights, never really thought that he thought that the surest safeguard of this right was the public opinion itself. And so I would actually argue that, like, I actually really think that today. I think, like, the thing that really keeps the First Amendment safe is not so much that, like, if Congress passed a law, we could sue and get SCOTUS to stop them. But if Congress passed a law that meaningfully restricted the First Amendment, we would just, there would be, people would go nuts. Like, I think that the most effective manifestation of the First Amendment is not so much the jurisprudence, but really how it's really kind of implanted itself in the hearts and minds of the American people.
Such a great point. And he's exactly right. It's not the structure of the court or the Supreme Court or your ability to litigate or stop Congress or even to vote them out 2 years later. It's that there would be massive, widespread popular revolt if Congress really and sincerely tried to limit, for example, free speech rights or religious exercise or, you know, assembly. That's so embedded in the American conscience that and consciousness that we wouldn't stand for it. He's right. That's the ultimate safeguard, is that this is just widely accepted and believed.
I like to make a joke. I used to teach high school. And, you know, when you got to do a dog and pony show when you teach high schoolers. You know, and I used to joke with them, like, if you ever watch the show Cops, or, like, nowadays it's probably, like, if you watch, like, videos on YouTube of, like, dash cam videos, right? And police officers will pull over, you know, people on drugs and all sorts of, and they'll, you know, you always get this, I know my rights, you can't do that. Like, I always thought it was really a testament to the effectiveness of Madison's Bill of Rights that it could soak so deeply down into the culture that people who are literally, like, out in the middle of the night on, like, you know, meth or something at 3 o'clock in the morning would nevertheless know that they have rights. To me, that's really the success of the Bill of Rights more than, I don't know, that's just my own take.
I agree with him. I mean, it's the meth head in at 2 a.m. doesn't really have a full-fledged concept of the telos that God had intended and, you know, what was the purpose of your life and what would produce happiness. But the fact that he knows as an American, I know my rights. Yeah, maybe you do. But the idea that that concept is so deeply embedded in our consciousness that we have it at the ready at 2 a.m. when we're high out of our minds, we still know to say that. He's right. You know, that's a great publishing success. The Bill of Rights has worked its way into even that idiot's mind. And that's good. Anyway, we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see a minor delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jay Koss, speaking at the Seligman Lecture Series at UWF. And one piece that I didn't recap, maybe I should have, and it's going to be important for understanding what's next, is that you can use your rights well according to the design they were intended for in order to build, create, and flourish. You can also use your rights. They're there to protect that, too. Freedom is there to be used well or to be misused. You can use your free speech, for example, rights to attack people, criticize people, drag them down, troll them, berate them, spread lies, okay? And the problem is, and the virtue is, that if you are using your worship and assembly and petition and redress and speech and press rights properly, you're engaging in national defense. You're protecting the project. You're advancing the country through use. You're doing the American thing, the thing that God and the founders had in mind when you're doing it well. And when you're doing it poorly and doing those other things, you're attacking the country. You're undermining the country. You're shredding the fabric. You're making it harder to do America and to be America. So keep that in mind. The way you do politics, the way you do discussion, the way you do worship and theology and interaction and press and all this stuff, you know, you can do social media well in a way that advances America. You can do social media poorly in a way that detracts from and inhibits America. And that's the point. That's what a freedom allows, but you better understand what the right version is so that you can engage in that instead of be found to be engaging in the opposite.
And the most effective criticism of the opponents of the Constitution is, where's our Bill of Rights? Where is it? And really, the answer is they were tired. It was September. They wanted to go home.
So at the end of the Constitutional Convention, you're right, they're finishing up. They've got the Constitution, and they don't have a Bill of Rights. And for those of you who may not know the history, one of the big debates was, like he's talking about, was over whether to have a Bill of Rights. Because they didn't have one. The anti-federalists criticized the Constitution because it didn't have a Bill of Rights, so they wanted one in order to protect you and all the things that the Bill of Rights now protects you in. The Federalists didn't want a Bill of Rights, and part of the reason they didn't want it is because they thought the Constitution was already clear enough that Congress can only do the things that it's allowed to do. And they worried that if you add a Bill of Rights, Congress will view that as, oh, we can do anything other than that. Okay, cool. Meaning the Bill of Rights meant to protect people from the government would wind up empowering the government to take everything else that the Bill of Rights did not enumerate, did not specify and protect. So that's the debate he's wandering into here.
George Mason was like, where's the Bill of Rights? And they were like, it's fine. We don't need one. And it ended up being the strongest argument against the Constitution. But it was also the way they got the final thing passed was that certain Federalists, advocates for the Constitution, agreed to a Bill of Rights. And that's how it, and by the way, too, I love the Bill of Rights, how the Bill of Rights passed, because, the Federalists really did not think that it was necessary. They thought it was superfluous. Madison actually didn't like Bills of Rights. Like, he thought they were kind of dangerous, because when you start listing rights, again, this sort of power-liberty distinction, if you start saying these are our liberties, power is going to say, oh, that's it. Those are all the liberties they have, when it's fact, our actual liberties are many, many more.
Even when you specify in the Constitution that only these powers are given to the federal government, and then you specify in the Bill of Rights that everything else is protected to the states and the people, look at what the government has done since then. They have tried to encroach on actually the things protected in the Bill of Rights, but they have assumed they can encroach on anything that's not protected. They have done exactly what Madison worried would happen.
But, one of the things that happens, and it's just remarkable considering how polarized we are today, is that opponents of the Constitution, many of them, big deal guys, Samuel Adams, John Hancock in Massachusetts, agreed to ratify the Constitution even though they thought it needed changes. We'll ratify it. Here are suggestions. Can take these into consideration. Real act of faith on one side of the political spectrum. Real act of faith. And then on the other side, what does Madison do? He actually takes them and rather be like, oh, well, that was dumb of you because I'm not going to do that. He actually does it. And even though they didn't think it was particularly important, so you have this real moment of this, and it's we've lost this in our country, I think, because it's sort of like Jefferson has this great line in his first inaugural. We've been called, we're all brethren of the same principle. We've been called different, the same thing by different names, but we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists.
This is such a beautiful piece of historical observation that I want to highlight it for a second. The anti-Federalists wanted a Bill of Rights. They didn't get it. But they trusted the promise by the Federalists that that would be the next thing that the Congress would work on, would be to create a Bill of Rights. The Federalists, when they got their Constitution, having said they'd work on a Bill of Rights, which they didn't want and they didn't really believe was necessary and they worried would be counterproductive because eventually government would take that as a we can do everything but what's listed here. When they had power, and they had all the power, they still went ahead and did what they said they were going to do and appease the anti-Federalists, and they all worked together because they were all Republicans. In the, formers of a republic, not Republican Democrat like today. They were all Americans, you might say, or patriots. That sense of, working together across the aisle, across the differences, even with vehement disagreements, that sense, I agree with him. That's something that's been lost and something that it's hard to cultivate, and we have to actively cultivate. That's why, one of the goals of the show is I want you to understand the other side all the time. I want you to understand the other side. You might think they're wrong, ridiculous, in the end, that's fine, but you should understand them. Because if we don't seek to understand them, which is why we talk so that we can seek understanding, so that we can, recognize that other people made in the image of God have views to which they're entitled to have and which they're entitled to. And we can learn from them and we can broaden our own understanding from them, even while we disagree with them. That's okay, but we should understand them as well.
There was a real conviction during this period of time. This fight was not like the fight between the Patriots and the Loyalists, where the Loyalists were seen as like traitors. It was a fight among friends. I mean, it was rough and tumble, but it was a fight among friends. And there was a real move at the end to reconcile with one another and to move forward together, which is a spirit that, in my opinion, is completely lost in our politics today.
Agreed.
Like, both sides, like, if they get in power, the first thing they're going to do is try and stick it to the other side, which is exactly, that's the thing. The Federalists overwhelmingly won the elections to the first Congress. They didn't have to do that. There was no major coalition in Congress demanding a Bill of Rights. The Anti-Federalists got trounced in those elections. They did it anyway.
Anyway, it was a fantastic speech. I just had somebody text him that they actually saw him and do the speech and took his kids to it and bought some books afterwards. It was wonderful. I wanted to highlight this because, first of all, you know, I love what UWF does with the Seligman Lecture Series. They've had several fantastic speeches there, and they do. It's an ongoing project. By the way, originated by a family who had, you know, fled the Holocaust and survived the Holocaust, and so kind of believed in the idea of freedom and protecting against an encroaching government and the right to worship and to speak and to assemble according to the dictates of your conscience. You know, kind of a big thing for people who survived the Holocaust to recognize the protections that the Constitution has for us as people and did not exist, obviously, under the Nazis. But this concept, we have to every once in a while stop and think about what's the project. You know, what does God want? What does it mean to be a human? What produces human happiness? Why, you know, why, even though the coked out meth head 2 a.m. is yelling about his rights, what are our rights really there for? And are we saying the same dumb things he's saying, or are we saying smarter things, and are we practicing smarter things? Are we, again, using our rights to build, advance, improve civil society, to serve God, to serve our fellow man? Or are we using them in the very selfish individual expressionism way of, well, I got my right, I can say what I want? Yeah, we're not going to stop you, but dummy, you're hurting. You know, you're not doing it well. You can do it better. You can do it better. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Because if all we ever do is fight the fires and you don't take time to plant the trees, if all we ever do is talk about the news and the events of the day, and we don't talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, God, the Bible, the First Amendment, all this, you know, that's, we got to be making more knowledge, and we got to be making more virtue and wisdom, both, all the time, in my humble opinion. John Pickens has traffic on the files. All right, that's the end. John, good, okay?
All right, yeah, good. Excellent. Great.
What do you got?
All right, let's see here. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 7 minute delay through that part of the construction zone, and the 98 eastbound through the Windhaven Beach area, experiencing about an 8 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Also, one note, if you didn't catch the 5 o'clock and the 6 o'clock hour, it's on the podcast. You can go back and listen. If we have a chance, we'll try to put them all together in one podcast. But if we don't, you can do it that way. Just listen to the 5, 6, and 7. The first segment in each one is all about that particular speech. Hey, if you need to build something, to repair something, you are a construction professional, or you're just fulfilling a honeydew, Pensacola Hardware, that's your place. They have everything you need. Now, I know I talk about them as the great resource for advice and guidance on building things and supplies and safety gear and all that kind of stuff. And that's all true. And I mean, they've been there for 175 years, which is almost unfathomable. The country is only 250 years, right? They've been there for 175 years. Oldest business in all of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. But also in the front of Pensacola Hardware is all these housewares, you know, gumbo pots and cookware and cast iron skillets and grills, high-end grills, fantastic stuff, all kinds of Yeti things and SEC merchandise. Like, a great place to go if you're looking for gifts for yourself or for somebody else that hard to buy for a person. You can definitely find something at Pensacola Hardware to buy for them. So whether it's fixing and building or whether it's buying houseware, Pensacola Hardware since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Step into your hometown boot store right here in beautiful Pensacola, Florida, where you can find the largest selection of Western boots and attire. The boot store also carries a great selection of workwear from boots to fire-resistant clothing. When you're looking for authentic wear accompanied with authentic service, show up at your hometown boot store, where you're more like family than you are a customer. 7801 Pine Forest Road in Pensacola and our second location on Highway 59 in Locksley. Remember, savings and selection are found behind the big red boot.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
He's not even a football player. That's stupid.
Stupid is a mean word.
But there are people. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with the headliner 2-4. David?
The leaders of Israel and Lebanon will be speaking for the first time in decades today. President Trump making that announcement yesterday.
Like 38 years or something, right?
That's what they said, wow. Now, the talks have not been confirmed by officials in either Israel or Lebanon, though, and there's no word on which leaders are meeting.
All right, very good. We'll be talking to Mike Wood from the Pensacola Police Department coming up next. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth giving an update on the conflict with Iran at the Pentagon briefing this morning.
You like to say publicly, Iran, that you control the Strait of Hormuz, but you don't have a navy or real domain awareness. You can't control anything.
Fox's Matt Finn in Dubai on the U.S. naval blockade of the Strait of Hormuz.
CENTCOM writing yesterday an Iranian-flagged cargo vessel tried to evade the U.S. blockade after leaving Bandar Abbas, exiting the Strait of Hormuz, and transiting along the Iranian coastline. The guided missile destroyer USS Spruance successfully redirected the vessel, which is heading back to Iran.
And Pope Leo speaking in Cameroon. He blasted world leaders spending billions on killing and devastation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. News Radio 92.3. It's 64 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies, and we'll get to our full forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us here in just a few minutes. Pensacola man that was found not guilty by reason of insanity in a 2014 stabbing death is headed back to the Florida State Hospital after reportedly attacking mental health clinicians. Matthew Warren had been living in Tallahassee since August of 2024 after his mental health had improved enough to leave state hospital care. On April 1st, he reportedly rapidly deteriorated, threatened to kill staff, and physically attacked a clinician. A judge has now ordered Warren recommitted for at least 6 months. Well, the city of Pensacola is applying for a demolition permit for the Pensacola Motor Lodge as negotiations are continuing with affordable housing developer Paces Preservation Partners on a land sale. Officials say the permit would clear the way for the sale, but the building would not come down until a deal closes, at least unless the CRA voted to demolish it sooner. Paces is proposing a 72-unit affordable housing development at that site with units that would serve residents at income levels between 30 and 80% of the area median income. The 1940s-era building is more than 50 years old, so the Architectural Review Board would have to review the demolition permit, although they couldn't deny it for properties outside of a review district. David Fugate has officially started as the University of West Florida's new general counsel. Fugate comes to UWF from Polk State College, where he served as the executive vice president for human resources and legal affairs. He brings more than 30 years of legal experience, including previous roles at the New College of Florida and Florida Polytechnic University. Fugat says the role feels like a homecoming for him because three of his children graduated from Escambia County Public Schools. Governor Ron DeSantis is delaying the special session he'd called from April 20th until April 28th. The session will now also cover artificial intelligence and vaccine exemptions in addition to congressional redistricting. The governor wants lawmakers to pass an AI Bill of Rights and expand vaccine exemptions for school districts. That session would wrap up no later than May 1st. Well, a Bay County veterinarian apparently helped to reunite a Tampa family with their dog, Bella, who they lost over a decade ago. North Bay Animal Hospital vet Bo Bergloff posted on Facebook about a dog that he found in Lynn Haven. He scanned the dog's microchip, tracked down the Tampa family, and Bergloff says the story is a reminder to microchip your pets and keep registration information current. A Fairhope woman was acquitted Wednesday of all charges related to her arrest at a No Kings protest. She says that fight still isn't over. Renee Gamble was arrested back in October while wearing an inflatable phallic costume at a rally on Greeno Road in Fairhope. The city claimed her costume created a traffic hazard, but her attorney argued the arresting officer's own recorded words showed he was motivated by personal offense rather than public safety. The judge said the prosecution didn't make its case. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect about a 15-minute delay. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through the construction zone, experiencing a 7-minute delay. And Highway 29 coming southbound toward 9 Mile Road, experiencing an 11-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures will warm up into the upper 70s and low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s. Heading into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Going into Saturday, sunny skies again, high near 82. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, cloudy skies. We've got 66 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze. Milton reporting 62 right now. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Flying overseas could soon be very difficult. The International Energy Agency's head is warning that Europe maybe has 6 weeks left of jet fuel as the airline industry continues to grapple with headwinds due to the Middle East crisis. IEA Executive Director Fatih Birol said to the Associated Press that the Strait of Hormuz blockade will result in, quote, the largest energy crisis we have ever faced. A new report says Spirit Airlines could liquidate as early as this week. Bloomberg News reports the airline, which is trying to recover from its second bankruptcy in less than a year, is facing the added challenge of a spike in fuel prices. Spirit said in February that it was set to exit bankruptcy as early as this spring. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said on CNBC that the Trump administration expects banks to comply with a mandate to collect citizenship data. The administration has been considering an executive order to require banks to request additional documents from customers. Futures are up slightly this morning amid peace negotiations for the Iran war. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring the all-new 2026 Subaru models. Like the all-new 2026 Subaru Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 1.9% for 48 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Ascent? Finance either one for 2.9% for an amazing 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% financing for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek Ascent and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791 or online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 92.3. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, any incidents this last week? There hasn't been a lot of PPD stuff in the news. That doesn't mean y'all aren't very active all the time. But I guess there was some kind of a burglary this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, everything was nice and Q-word until just a little while ago.
Q-word. That's so adorable. So,
yeah, so officers responded to a burglary in progress at the 4,000 block of McCoy Drive. I believe that's APAC Mid-South business over there. For a vehicle burglary, and upon arrival, the suspect fled into an industrial area or a wooded area along some train tracks. Canine and drone were both utilized to help locate that individual. He was eventually located, and then when the officers approached him, he decided he wanted to fight them, several of them. So he was quickly introduced to the taser. He was taken down without further incident. So besides that, it's been a very uneventful week since I last spoke with you.
Any officers or canine get hurt in the process?
Everybody's okay.
Okay, good. Well, outstanding. Excellent. So we'll take that as, a relatively Q-word week. Kind of like that.
That's right.
All right. You and I had a conversation last week about the so-called First Amendment auditor, the interaction between the Scambia County Sheriff's deputy and this, I'll just call him the dillhole with a camera and a TikTok feed. Some of our conversation got interrupted by phone issues, but there was more to this that you and I, we wanted to talk about, particularly because you go around the country and you literally train cops on this stuff, and not just cops, but the same principles apply to ordinary citizens. So talk to me about what you tell people and what's going on here.
Yeah, and if you look online or on these social media platforms, you're going to see more interactions, negative interactions, with regular people than you are police officers, because there's simply a lot more of them, and the officers are now becoming more and more aware or trained on how to handle these situations where the general public is not. So all this boils down to is money. With First Amendment auditors, they've become a significant source of income for content creators. Some of them get paid as much as $150,000 per month. Now, that's unusual, but some of them do. Most of them around $1,000, $2,000 area for the ones that get a lot of clicks by posting their videos online using various platforms where they request and receive donations from subscribers to help fund their work. They also, some of them also sell merchandise. So the more inflamed the interaction, the more views they get, and the more money that they make. And to make matters even worse, some of these auditors at times compete with each other for views and money, which further incentivizes them to engage in highly confrontational behavior to provoke an even greater negative response from officials, employees, and everyday people.
Okay.
All these interactions are video recorded, and the worst of them have been viewed just tens of thousands of times. And that's, again, that's how they make money. They're doing this to make money, not necessarily to make sure everybody knows about the First Amendment, but they're doing it to make money.
So you're saying that the First Amendment auditors are not exactly engaging in the Seligman lecture series and educating the population. They're just trying to, you know, create tension, cause problems, inflame, and then catch it on camera so that they can market that and be paid for it.
A lot of them. Now, there are some of them, and I personally know one, that's honestly out there to make sure people are aware of where people can film and where they can't. This individual has never been involved in a confrontation, not in it to make the money, but maybe he does. I don't know, but he doesn't seem that way. But some of them are actually out there, and once you they let you know what their rights are and they're not challenged, then they just go about their business. But so, you know, what can you do if you treat them like these aggressive ones, like a beehive? Just turn around and go the other way. Don't engage with them. But employees and officials should just be welcoming. If you have no choice and you have to engage with them, be welcoming, be friendly and helpful. This behavior will prevent escalation. It'll also likely shorten the encounter. So auditors make money from negative reactions by public officials, but not by positive ones. Those are the ones, if you're very nice and there's not a confrontation, those are the ones that simply do not get uploaded to the internet because it's not going to make them any money.
Now, in Florida, we are a two-party consent state, but that's for, like, on the phone recordings and things, right? They don't have to get your permission just to be video recording you.
Right. That's on the phone. That's like if a bug was placed into a room or something like that, that's highly illegal unless there's a warrant or something like that that law enforcement would use. So, these folks know exactly what their rights are. They know where they can and cannot stand. And as you saw in the video with the sheriff's office, he was just trying to provoke her, trying to go and stand someplace, where he wasn't supposed to be, even though that was a right of way. So they do know what they're doing as far as the law goes. So, and they want to make sure that you do too. And when you challenge them, that's when things start to go bad.
We'll come back to this in just a second. Mike Wood is a public information officer, PPD, for Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, traffic is backed up all the way to Woodbine Road. So expect about a 20-minute delay through that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, experiencing a 12-minute delay. And let's see here, 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, a 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you know, we've all seen videos of this sort, I think. We've also seen videos in various protests, and we've certainly seen videos that involve the police. But you're telling me that a lot of times they're perfectly happy to take the ordinary citizen and provoke them to, you know, lash out, get angry, whatever, because that's their way of making money. So I'm a citizen, aside from just ignoring and walking away, any other strategies, tactics, tips? Because certainly, you know, that's a very unsatisfying answer. I'm not saying it's a bad answer. I'm just saying, you know, you want to be able to do something. Is there anything that you can do as a citizen?
Yeah. So just answer the questions calmly. If the counter becomes lengthy, just tell them that you need to get back to work or whatever it was before you were doing prior to that encounter, and turn around and go about your business. There's nothing that requires you to stay there. But what triggers people, especially older folks that aren't used to this, teachers, people that work inside medical office buildings, they see these people filming children. They see them filming patients, and they take offense to that, and we understand that. We understand why, because people simply don't want to be filmed. But a lot of times, especially near schools, they're just pointing those cameras at the playground just to get you going, just to get you to come confront them. They're not even recording those kids, but they want the confrontation.
And so,
the best thing to do is, and you can always call us. You can call the police. That way you're not engaging with them. Let us come over there, and if they're in a place where they can be, we will let you know that. And if you'll just ignore them, they'll turn around, they'll go away. The footage will never get uploaded, most likely. But if they're in a place they're not supposed to be, we will handle that.
You know, it is interesting how often people misunderstand what the law, as you and I know, what the law is, what their rights are, what other people's rights are. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we go biking all the time, and, you know, we try to find good places to park where we're not going to cause anybody to be disturbed or where it's okay. But I still, you know, we'll park on some neighborhood street. And I had an encounter where this guy, you know, what you doing parking there? I'm like, on this street by the retention pond that's not even by anybody's house? Well, sir, I'm just parking. You know, and you're not going to park on my street. I'm like, Well, I mean, you can call the sheriff if you want, but I'm pretty sure the laws in Baldwin County allow this. You know, it's amazing how poorly informed people are about the law. And once they get their own idea of how you're breaking it somehow or doing something that they don't like, you know, they escalate emotionally as a reaction to their ignorance, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what makes these people money, is them escalating and getting emotional and causing clicks, and clicks cause money to come in.
So
if you put them, if everybody got together and ignored them or was not rude to them, did not confront them, you would simply put them out of business.
So I saw a clip on TV I was watching. It was somebody covering the Iran war, and it was a reporter who was being harassed by a crowd. And the one most notable idiot in the crowd was this woman who had chosen a whistle as her weapon of choice. And she was right up next to this reporter while this reporter is doing her report, whistling with the whistle in her ear. And I know for me, I thought, you know, there is a point at which I can push you back, at least if you're doing, because that's harm. You're hurting my ears. But you tell me, you're the cop. What can you do in that circumstance?
Yeah, if you're getting in somebody's personal space, if they're close enough to where they can reach you with their arm, they could strike you, that's putting you in reasonable fear. And that's all it takes. I mean, you do whatever you have to do to protect yourself. And most of the time, again, these folks know better than to do something like that to get in your personal space. But if that was to happen, then, of course, you can do what you need to do to protect yourself.
You know, it's an interesting contrast, as we've been talking all day about the First Amendment and the use of it. The purpose of it was to build a better society, to worship God, to create relationships with people, to advance the human cause. But there are also people, because of freedom is a freedom, and it protects you in the ability to do it well and also to do it poorly. And there are people who are using it poorly, and they are these so-called First Amendment auditors might think of themselves as sort of these chivalrous heroes protecting the First Amendment. I see them the way you see them, which is agitators who are causing problems, fracturing society, and predating, you know, being predators upon ordinary people for the purpose of money as opposed to really advancing the cause, at least most of them. We always like to end with a question, a did you know, a cop myth, something like that. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, and there's several. I'll have to put them in here very quickly. They're myths about traffic stops. A lot of times you'll see these videos uploaded as well. As an officer will pull somebody over, and they will say that they do not have to show their driver's license. That is a myth. That's not true. When an officer pulls you over, you do have to show that license. Excuse me. So you're required by Florida State Statute 322.15 to produce your driver's license. You must also show your vehicle registration and proof of insurance. And the officer will eventually, if not right off the bat, but eventually he or she will also tell you why you're being stopped. You hear a lot of that. Why are you stopping me? That's going to be explained to you. And it's very common for another officer to arrive as backup. That's a policy that we have. It's a safety thing that we do, and most officers or departments do that. Even if you just roll through a stop sign, you may have two officers show up. And it's not that we think that you're a big, bad criminal or anything, but it's just officer safety because we simply don't know what we're getting into. So it's also true that the driver and the passengers must exit that vehicle if told to do so by officers. And if you don't, you can be arrested for obstruction. You do have the right to request the presence of a supervisor, though a lot of times the supervisor is already on the scene. You hear a lot of that being supervisors being requested. And the officer can force you to terminate a phone conversation if it interferes with their investigation, as you must comply with safety-related orders. So
even if you're talking to the president?
Yeah, that came to mind. Yeah, even if you're talking with the president, if it's a safety issue, you know, if the officer's on the side of the interstate trying to get you to understand what's going on, trying to get you to talk to him or her, and you're on the phone, that's a problem. That's putting the officer in a bad spot. So you do have to terminate that phone conversation. You do get to keep your phone. You do get to record the encounter if you want to, but you do need to terminate that phone call if it becomes a safety issue for the officer.
And then what about the, like, license and registration in the sandwich baggie out the window but nothing else that you see sometimes these professed legal experts telling you that that's all you have to do?
Well, we have to, and well, they did produce it, and the law says they have to produce it. So everything has to be done on a case-by-case basis after that.
Okay.
You know, we have some of those. Fortunately, not a lot of that going on, but it does happen, and we handle that on a case-by-case basis.
And when
it all depends on why they were originally stopped.
Fair enough. And when it comes to searching the vehicle, you can refuse a search But they have to be able to produce an articulable reason why it's justified, and or if a dog sniffs, because that's allowed outside the vehicle, and if the dog alerts, then they're allowed to search, right? That's the short version of searching.
Yeah, that's the short version. They can do that. I mean, the police department has, all night long, all day long, they can go get a search warrant if they need to. Mm-hmm. They can hook to the vehicle with a search warrant. So that's something that they can do. But first of all, they're going to ask you, can I have permission to search that vehicle? That's where they're going to start.
And you know, the one thing that a police officer is obligated to tell the truth about is your constitutional rights. And so, you know, even if you ask, you know, do I have to let you search it? The police officer can't pretend you have to, right? Like they
right.
basically tell you, no, you can, you can deny me. We'll go get a search warrant. We'll bring the dog. You know, we'll do whatever we're going to do. But that's one of the things that police officers are actually obligated to tell the truth about is constitutional rights, right?
Absolutely. And they will. They'll tell you exactly what's going on.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. We always appreciate it. A lot of really good information today. And we hope for another Q Word week before I talk to you next Thursday. We'll talk to you then, sir.
Okay, going for the Q.
That's right. I get to John here in just a moment. Before that, if you wake up in the morning feeling refreshed and wonderful and your bed is awesome and you love it, I mean, cool. I'm glad for you. If, on the other hand, you wake up feeling achy or sore, or you can't quite fall asleep at night because you feel uncomfortable, hey, it's time to get a new mattress. And you probably know. Like, I'm probably not telling you something you don't already realize, but if you wake up in the morning not feeling refreshed, I mean, you know what the problem probably is, right? Well, go to the Sleep Center. They'll help educate you on what kind of mattress you need, what will work for you. Not everybody's body is the same. Not everybody's preferences are the same. You know, not just softness and firmness, but what technology works better for you. If it's foam, if it's hybrid foam and coil, if it's coil, if it's something else entirely. The point is they have all of this and they can help you understand it. They've been there for 30 years. They started off in the Eastgate Shopping Center, and then about 15 years later, they moved over onto Creighton, just east of Davis Highway on the north side there. Best selection in town. They actually have the NASA space foam, like the Tempur-Pedic memory foam, which is patented, that you literally nobody else can imitate, because if they actually imitate it, they're in violation of the patent. So talking about the number of air holes in each cell, 2 to 3 is common in like the imitators. Tempur-Pedic has like 14 to 15. So it's designed to spring right back to its original form forever. Just a completely different kind of thing. Best service, best selection, best price in town. Stop by and see. Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident that's going to cause you major delay at Fairfield Drive and North Pace Boulevard. Again, that's a vehicle accident with injuries and roadblock. Traffic is backing up both in the north and southbound lanes there. And let's see here. I-10 westbound between I-110 and Highway 29. Through that construction, seeing about a 7-minute delay, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 9-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60-year-old not-so-perfect candidate, like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you, with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you, older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
I'm itching to kill somebody, so it might just as well be you.
I love Billy Jack. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, we've got a name for the new Spaceballs movie. Mel Brooks announcing that the sequel to the 1987 Star Wars parody will be called Spaceballs, the New One. It's got a release date of April 23rd, 2027. Of course, Rick Moranis returning as Lord Darkhelmet and Brooks returning as Yogurt.
They should have called it The Newest Hope. A Newest Hope. That would have been, but, you know, you can't get everything you want.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A warning to Iran as the ceasefire holds for now. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We'd rather not have to do it, but we're ready to go at the command of our president and at the push of a button.
And War Secretary Pete Hegseth tells Iran going back to bombing is doing it the hard way. The U.S. military blockade in the Strait of Hormuz
is the polite way that this can go.
As for Iran's threats to keep blocking all shipping,
threatening to shoot missiles and drones at ships, commercial ships that are lawfully transiting international waters, that is not control. That's piracy. That's terrorism.
On day four of this blockade, the U.S.'s top general, Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane, says the U.S. has turned 13 ships around, not letting them into or out of Iran's ports.
Enforcement will occur inside Iran's territorial seas and in international waters.
Oil and gas prices have come down lately, but did spike up in the Iran conflict, and now a new concern.
The head of the International Energy Agency says Europe has maybe 6 weeks or so of jet fuel left, and cancellations could be right around the corner. IEA Executive Director Fatih Birol has been speaking to the AP about the aviation consequences of the war on Iran. He says it's the largest energy crisis we have ever faced, and the longer it goes on, the worse it'll be for everyone around the world.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Pope Leo, who's been criticized for days by President Trump over comments about the Iran conflict, just spoke in Cameroon on his African trip saying, "Blessed be the peacemakers," and...
"But woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, or political gain."
The president has said he's not a fan of Pope Leo, calling him weak on crime, and he doesn't want a pope who thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Breaking news.